your mind out of the funk. Giddy your body off of that junk. Giddy your spirit up in the air. Giddy your life out of that chair. G-I-D-D-Y-Y-O, dark chocolate made in Ontario.
Yo, giddy, yo, dark chocolate. No lies, no delusions, no deception. This dark chocolate your body will love, yo.
Warning, warning, warning.
Profound shifts may occur with long-term generous consumption of giddy, yo, dark chocolate. Accept no substitute. This is real food, not candy.
Giddyyo.com. So right now, it's time for our WTF segment. I gotta stop talking like that. Stands for Where's the Faith? Basically, we are joined by a religion reporter from an assortment of news outlets, and we catch up on the happenings of the in the world of religion and faith and cults.
Oh, my.
Today's WTF guest is Jack Jenkins. He's a national reporter for Religion News Service, religionnews.com, which, by the way, religionnews.com is where I found out about the previous guest I had on the show, Wallace Jeffs. He was on a little while ago. He's the half-brother of polygamous cult leader Warren Jeffs, author of Destroying Their God, How I Fought My Evil Half-Brother to Save My Children. Sounds like some kind of Marvel comic or something.
Or a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, not.
Starring Candace Cameron Bure.
Anyway, let's get into things with Jack Jenkins. Jack, we got a few topics to chat about, but as soon as I see in a list, the first thing I draw my eyes go to is the last name Falwell.
Right.
And the reason I'm drawn to that is because I went to a funeral recently and I saw Dave and Carol Burroughs. Haven't seen them in a long time, yeah. Tim. And Dave Burroughs played in the NHL. And he was in my wedding party 100 years ago, and I went down to watch one of the kids play it. What's it called? Liberty? Liberty?
Yes.
And I went in, and right. I see a multi-million dollar complex for football and a multi-million dollar complex for baseball, I think, or something. I don't know. And the hockey team's got to get on a busted old bus and drive half an hour down the road to some rinky-dink arena. And I go to the game, and there's, I don't know, 12 people watching the game. Man. So I go into Falwell's office the next day. Hey, is Jerry there? Lady looks at me like I'm on drugs. Do you have an appointment, sir? No, I don't have an appointment. From Canada. We don't have appointments in Canada. He said, well, can I leave a message? I said, sure. So I wrote a little note. Next day, Jack, we're going to get to you in a second.
Yeah.
Next day, the Burroughs kid goes, what did you say to Jerry Falwell? Did you go meet with him? I said, no, I left a note, left a message. I said, why? He said, well, whatever you said worked, because he and Mrs. Falwell showed up at the next hockey game.
Wow.
And it happened to be the game where Brett got in two different fights, and Mrs. Falwell standing up screaming her head off, loving it.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
And then Left Behind happened.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about the crappy movie. I mean the books. And then that they donate Jerry Jenkins. Tim LaHaye. What did Tim LaHaye do?
Tim LaHaye. Yeah.
He donated a bunch of money and they got a hockey arena.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was our time with Jack Jenkins. Thank you. Anyway, Jack, what's going on with Jerry Falwell Jr.? Because we ain't talking about Big Jerry because he's dead.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, most recently, we at the Religion News Service, we published a story just kind of noting that Liberty University, which has long claimed for several years now to be the largest Christian university in the world, and by a metric that it has cited for several years, it is technically no longer the largest Christian university in the world.
Aww.
That metric now belongs to a school called Grand Canyon University, which is a for-profit Christian university out of Arizona. We ran the story. We did a lot of research about it, kind of like where the metrics come from. You know, Liberty University and Grand Canyon University, the backstory here is those schools have both deeply invested in online education.
Oh.
So they both have a very robust element of online students who take a few classes here and there. But after we published the story and their press office noted that they were removing that claim from the website, Jerry Falwell Jr. Got involved and said, no, we are still the largest Christian university in the world, but by our metric. And so what they meant by that was that they didn't consider Grand Canyon University a Christian university. And so then there was a follow-up story that we wrote where they actually they both criticized the Christianness of Grand Canyon University, and Grand Canyon replied. And then, you know, they said, well, by another metric that's not just how many students take classes, but by full-time enrollment, we are still larger than them, et cetera, et cetera. It became this really interesting back and forth about, you know, what it means to be a Christian university, why that title is so important to Liberty University, particularly in 2018, and why these schools are growing at such a high clip.
Man. Well, I would like to see maybe a bit of a cage match between Jerry Falwell. Who's the head of the other one? What's his name or her name? It's probably a he.
It is. Brian, I'm probably going to get this wrong. It's Brian Mueller, I believe.
Okay.
And in terms of how it's pronounced. But the truth is, in my reporting, and, you know, Grand Canyon kind of said this, Grand Canyon was less interested in the title. This wasn't necessarily something that they were claiming. It's something that I found in my reporting when I was running the numbers on this. And they were, it sounded to me when I approached them, they were surprised to learn this about themselves, that they had become, by this metric, the largest Christian university. But for Jerry Falwell, this seemed to be an important metric to claim. And the quote he gave us for our second story, this is something that he said, even if we lose this metric, or even if, you know, they are a Christian university, we'll continue to be the largest Christian university, speaking of Liberty University, by other metrics for years to come, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Wasn't Jerry Falwell Jr. the guy that had a gun in his tucked in his pants when he was talking to his kids or something like that? Do you remember that thing?
There
was...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That university
was, if I recall correctly, that was after the San Bernardino shooting, and he went on stage in front of his students, if I recall correctly, and, you know, said that you know, if everybody had a gun, then they could stop, quote unquote, those Muslims before they got in there. And he said he reached for his back pocket, like his back pocket, to say that he had a gun there. And asked, you know, is it okay for me to pull it out on stage? And he didn't ultimately end up pulling it out. But yeah, that became a pretty big news story for a little bit.
I would like to give you a tip for a little news story that I heard about recently. You probably are aware of this because you RNS people are on top of everything. the keyboard player for Journey, apparently, I can't remember his name, but he's a Jesus guy now. Or maybe was and then went away and he's back. I don't know what the thing is, but apparently he's either dating or engaged to or married to Paula White.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You knew that's this already, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See?
Don't stop believing.
Oh, man. I get Paula White I get Paula White confused. Wouldn't she? There was some talk about her dating Benny Hinn until he laid some hands on her, I think, maybe, right? I don't know how that...
I don't remember the exact story, but there was a something, some talk about similar things.
Yeah, okay. Like, all right. I get her confused with the other. Who's that woman's teacher? Woman's teacher. Wow, did I say that right? I think she believes she can only teach women, and her eyes are always wide open. It's like she's had about 37 cups of coffee.
Red Bull.
No, I can't remember her name right now. Oh well, but that was a good story. Anyway, moving along. Now, a guest that's coming up on our show soon is Bishop Michael Curry. And, of course, his rise to fame happened at the royal wedding. I mean, this guy took the spotlight. I can just imagine all those stuffy English people saying, oh, please shut up. Please shut up now. Stop it. Stop talking now. I thought he was amazing. What do you think, Jack?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what's been really interesting following Curry is that I think for a lot of, you know, Episcopalians and people in the Black Church and people in liberal mainline traditions, the sermon that he gave at the royal wedding didn't sound that different from stuff that they hear on Sunday morning. But it was really different to hear it at the royal wedding with, you know, a bunch of people who were, like, trying to keep their faces from smiling or from having any emotional reaction whatsoever. And so he broke through. He became this rock star overnight, just for, you know, delivering this love-rooted sermon. But what's been really interesting about him is that a week later, he was at a gathering that for this thing called the Reclaiming Jesus Statement, that was pulled together by, for lack of a better term, a lot of liberal Christians, which included a section in the statement that said that America First, which was the campaign slogan of, you know, now President Donald Trump, they called that a theological heresy. So you had a really unusual instance of someone from, you know, they might not use this term, they might not claim this term, but, you know, the religious left, as it were, progressive Christianity, who had been elevated to the international stage. And a week later, they were marching to the White House to deliver a message that kind of was a direct challenge to the sitting president. So he's been an interesting figure to watch because he kind of unsettles a lot of, you know, people's presumptions about, you know, if the only way to be religious and public and political is to be conservative, and a lot of the people that associate with Curry aren't necessarily telling that same line.
Right, right. We are speaking with Jack Jenkins, national reporter for Religion News Service, religionnews.com. Jack Jenkins, we got to talk about some Catholic stuff here because there, you know, wasn't that long ago where evangelicals would say things like, "Are they Christian or are they Catholic?" You know, that line. Remember that, Tim?
Oh yeah,
yeah. But I have factually discovered over the last number of years that, you know, there are people within the Catholic world that resonate more with the anguish in my soul than any in the, you know, the certainty world, right? You know what I mean? Like Merton has rocked my world, just as a start. But Pope Francis, I mean, come on. I keep waiting for him to screw up somehow because...
Oh, he has.
He has, yeah. Has he?
Oh. Yeah.
In your little
no.
Snowflake world.
Across Canada and our indigenous people.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, all right, fine. Anyway...
Sorry, did I steal your thunder, Kevin?
No. But listen, here's what I don't understand. Can you help me understand how the Pope is involved with artificial intelligence? Are you telling me that Pope Francis has met with Donald Trump?
I see what you did there.
Thank you. I see what you did.
So Pope Francis gave like a message that was delivered to Davos, or the World Economic Forum, earlier this year. And in it, you know, he kind of says a lot of stuff that sounds familiar at this point for him, where he talks about the plight of the poor, right? And he also, but something people kind of forget is that the Pope has actually talked about technology a lot. So when he delivered his encyclical on the environment, where it was about climate change, he actually had a whole lot of, you know, language in there where he was talking about how technology can be really, really good. Or if technology is used one way, it can actually hurt the poor, it can hurt, you know, workers, that sort of stuff. But when he was talking, when he delivered this message, or someone read his message to Davos, he like threw out a line about artificial intelligence and robots, and saying that, you know, they should be used for human good as opposed to something, you know, bad for humanity. And what that kind of signals is that, you know, Pope Francis has actually kind of been, and Catholics in general, have kind of been involved in this emerging field of tech ethics, which is, you know, kind of saying to, you know, these Silicon Valley types, okay, so you have this great technology, but sometimes it's not used so great. So like when Mark Zuckerberg, you know, and Facebook and this whole Cambridge Analytica scandal where data apparently got illegally or improperly pulled from Facebook, and people's data got put out and used by a group that they didn't want to have it used by, you know, there's a lot of ethical questions behind that. And so it shouldn't be too surprising that Mark Zuckerberg has actually been to the Vatican and met Pope Francis. So there's just a whole group of Catholics, apparently, who are you know, kind of working with this question of, as things like Alexa and, you know, the Google Home and things like, you know, self-driving cars get more prevalent, are there questions that we need to ask about how this technology gets used, right? Is it going to take jobs away from workers, you know, and that kind of conflicts with, you know, Catholic ideas of work, or it is going to be used for war, and then that complicates Catholic ideas for just war theology and just war theory, or is it going to become a self-aware entity and we're going to live in a Terminator universe, in which case we have some serious theological questions to answer about whether or not you can baptize robots. So these are actual questions that Catholic thinkers and theologians are struggling with right now.
Did you say baptize robots?
Yeah, you had me at baptizing robots.
I don't get it. It sounds crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true. That's a serious question because as there's this person is not Catholic, but there is a Presbyterian minister who's broached the question, which says if you know, if something we make an artificial intelligence that, you know, really does rival the intelligence of a human being, well, then it kind of complicates how we think of a person, right? Is a person something that's super smart, or is a person has to be a flesh and blood thing? And so if these are real questions, then, you know, did Jesus also die for robots? And it sounds like, you know, most of the Catholic thinkers I talked to when I wrote about this were on the side of, no, like, a robot or an artificial intelligence can't actually be, you know, considered a full person. Mm-hmm. We've already got folks who are calling the question. So I don't know if they're going to have, like, a robot priest one day. But this is something that's getting worked out.
Voiced by Mr. Bean. No. That's not Stephen Hawking's voice. It's Mr. Bean's voice. Yeah. Come on. Dude, we can't wrap up or finish with you without talking about this. There's yet another stinking preacher who's saying, I need a jet.
Prosperity gospel.
Come on, man. I mean, are we still dealing with this stuff? I was talking about this nonsense 15 years ago when I started my show. I can't believe it's happening again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if anything, the profile of prosperity gospel preachers has only been increased. I mean, you were talking about Paula White earlier, and she might dispute whether or not she's a prosperity gospel preacher, but a whole lot of scholars and observers of religion put her in that category, and she's, you know, apparently one of the closest faith advisors to the president. You know, there's the profile of this group is only growing as their, you know, exposure increases. And like you said, a lot, this isn't even the first time we've had, you know, pastors call on their congregations to give them a plane, right? This, I believe this preacher, the one you're referring to, is the one who said that, you know, that Jesus wouldn't be riding a donkey, he'd be riding a jet if he was alive today. But he is not alone in that belief. There's quite a few people who've put into that same boat right about now who have very large following.
My meathead here, friend, sorry, I forgot your name.
Tim. Kevin.
Kevin. Tim said something like, what was it about the demons?
I heard that his other reasoning, apparently Kenneth Copeland shared the same similar one, that demons travel on commercial airlines, so they wanted to avoid that as well.
I also heard that because apparently, you know, the devil lives in coach.
The devil lives in coach. No, dude,
the
devil is in business class, and I've sat beside her many times. It is just astounding that people still. I think what it is, look, we're never gonna. I don't think we'll ever be rid of selling hope as long as we have hopelessness. Ooh, that was deep. I like that.
Wow, that sounds like something Alex would say.
Or Kevin. It drives me nuts, man. It is such I just don't understand how people can still buy into it. I really don't. But I guess when you're desperate and you're living in a consumeristic society and you're feeling like you need more and you should have more and there's entitlement and all that kind of stuff, you're just going to keep hooking into this prosperity, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it gospel. So
right. I mean, that's some of the scholars and academics I've talked to you about prosperity gospel. You know, at the end of the day, if you live in a culture where capitalism and the idea that, you know, if you work hard enough, you'll get ahead, whether or not that's actually true for everyone, that's what's sold to a lot of people coming along, particularly in American culture. You know, if you've got a theology that kind of, you know, that puts that in a religious context and says if you just believe hard enough and give enough money to your pastor, it'll get returns of blessings. I think it's as you said, there are different kinds of folks who show up to prosperity gospel churches, but I'm sure we know it includes a lot of people who are also lower income. And you know, this gives them a sense of hope, as you noted.
Well, and it also justifies rich people's spirituality. You know, it justifies their theology.
They don't have to get through that
right.
Eye of the needle.
If the pastor drives around in the Cadillac, that proves the theology.
Okay,
right?
Hold on. You got to update it, man, because Cadillac ain't nothing these days. You got to the 80s called. They want their car back.
Yeah. Hummer, Escalade. Fair.
Ferrari. I'm sorry. What is, a Tesla limo?
There you go. There we go.
He's environmentally friendly too, this Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. Dude, Jack, how the heck have we not had you on the show before? You are gold. We want to come back to you again. Jack Jenkins, he's a national reporter for Religion News Service, religionnews.com. go to this site, man. They are the bomb with covering this kind of stuff. So I guess the editor must be a terrorist. Is that how it works?
Nice.
See what I did
yes.
there? Little joke, huh? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Jack, thank you for your time, and I wish you the best for the rest of your weekend, sir.
Awesome. Thank you all so much for having me.
All right. Take care, man. Bye-bye. Jack Jenkins
yes, sir.
On the Drew Marshall. I like that guy. He's good, man. He rolled with it.
He did.